special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Block party, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's Black Friday. And yes, here we are. Let's set some levels here. This is the B-side episode 195 from Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and those pesky little cover-ups. That was Block Party, Hunting for Witches, from their 2007 record, A Weekend in the City. And again, welcome new and returning listeners. These B-side episodes, as the weeks and months and even, yes, years have gone on, this is the location where we go over a lot of the other related Media Monarchy stories. other alternative news sites that we are proud enough to be associated with. The latest work coming out from all those sources, and we'll get to the latest from Corbett Report and Ground Zero at the end of this episode. As well as my sister sites, cyberspacewar.com, and we're going to hit just a few short updates on foodworldorder.com, and we'll begin with giving thanks. Survey finds more families dining together, and that comes from Food Safety News. Over these last now, again, couple of years, as we're looking for silver linings to the dark economic clouds, this is another one. We discussed in greater detail last week Senate Bill 510, aka the Food Safety and Modernization Act. We have the latest from Natural News. The vote has been delayed until after Thanksgiving, which is right now Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We were talking it last week. We still have two main ways to put our money where our media monarchy mouth is. And one is buying silver very soon. And the other is calling my senator, Ron Wyden, who we'll get to in just a few minutes when we get to cyberspace war, to vote down Senate Bill 510, and at the very least make sure that what's called the Tester Amendment is included, and what that can do to exempt smaller farms from these draconian measures that essentially, yes, gives Homeland Security control over what food you can grow. Furthermore, from naturalnews.com, noting the food safety meme that the FDA has killed far more people than contaminated eggs or lettuce have. Going right along with that, medical mistakes kill 15,000 patients every month. They tell you to be worried about boogie-boogie terror men, but you're far more likely to get hit by a car or even struck by lightning than terrorists getting you. NativeTimes.com gets into a book series called Eat This, giving consumers the skinny on food choices. But as all of these stories, we have to give the caveat that just because we post things to the site doesn't necessarily mean I endorse them. We're trying to give you a broad spectrum of info. So, of course, do your own research. Interesting one coming from the District of Criminals, and we call it that because here we have from the Washington Post, arrest in Prince George's probe exposed ties between politicians and liquor officials. Yes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Gangsterism, dropping the mask and coming full in all our faces. Whether that's big business or big entertainment or big pharma or in this case, prohibition. Gangsters and prohibition. Some of the names change, some of the tactics get accelerated, and some of the names of the drugs that we're demonizing in particular generations change. And this is a fairly massive story. Washington Post having a huge other related links into this investigation. Shock of shocks, politicians and liquor officials connected. Drunk in bed together, if you will. Feds investigating drinking glasses with lead, that's right, cadmium, in your kids' glassware. You know, like the kind you get from the fast food stores that have some corporate cartoon character on it. AllGov.com noting that arsenic is still used in chicken feed. And the last note on this, Binge and Purge, posted yesterday, 11/25, giving thanks. Cryptogon.com has posted a story along with, I believe, a couple of updates. A vegan no more. Getting into the specifics of what you need and what some people must have. Voracious Vegan. TheVoraciousVegan.com is a vegan no more. The update is the author received death threats because that's how tolerant we all are. We're so progressive. Our other note on foodworldorder.com comes from care2.com. Addicted to cheese? Here's why. Ever felt like you couldn't give up cheese? Ever think it might actually be a drug? The surprising news is that as far back as the 1980s, researchers have known that cheese contains trace amounts of morphine. Seriously. In 1981, Eli Hazum and his colleagues at Wellcome Research Laboratories reported traces of the chemical morphine, a highly addictive opiate. It turns out that morphine is found in cow milk and human, purportedly to ensure offspring will bond very strongly with their mothers and get all the nutrients they need to grow. Researchers also discovered the protein casein. You know that, C-A-S-E-I-N, which breaks into caseomorphins when it's digested and also produces opiate effects. In cheese, casein is concentrated and so is the level of caseomorphins, so the pleasurable effect is greater. Neil Barnard, MD, said, quote, "Since cheese is processed to express out all the liquid, it's an incredibly concentrated source of caseomorphins. You might call it dairy crack." A vegan no more, indeed. We'll now move to all the latest from cyberspacewar.com that, yes, at this point now, essentially deserves its own show. Anyone? We also want to give huge thanks to Alan in Omaha for taking on posting duties to cyberspacewar.com. That's the main reason you've seen an explosion of postings and news coming out of cyberspacewar.com. But we'll start with just a couple of ones that I had time to post to Cyberspace War. And we start with the DEF CON. Sick switch risks. Where we'll first note from the French agency press, U.S. launches giant eavesdropping satellite. The U.S. has placed in orbit a vast reconnaissance satellite reputed to be the largest eavesdropping device ever launched into space. The largest unmanned American launch vehicle, the Delta IV Heavy rocket, roared into the night sky in Cape Canaveral, Florida, this past Sunday night, carrying the mysterious satellite on a mission dubbed NROL-32. The National Reconnaissance Office, which of course was running drills in the morning of 9/11 of hijacked jets crashing into government buildings, which amazingly took place. The NRO did not disclose the purpose of the satellite, but widespread reports in the U.S. media suggested is for eavesdropping on enemy communications. Of course, it's for over there. Not going to be for here at all. ITProPortal.com. Government focusing on cyber warfare. Armed Forces Chief reveals, yes, they're pushing all of it into cybercom. No, future combat systems didn't quite work out, but we know it'll be back in a different form because, of course, the military-industrial complex, the unstoppable behemoth, the biggest polluter, the biggest money waster, the biggest destroyer of all things, great and small. This is one we should pay attention to if you haven't thought about this already. From ImpactLab.net, study says Wi-Fi makes trees sick. And when you just stop and think about the amount of Wi-Fi that's gone up all around us over the last few years, especially if you live in the city, you hit your available wireless and you're surrounded by it at any given moment. Well, let's do it right now. There's at least 10 wireless signals swirling around my head right now. NYU artist gets camera implanted into his head. Third eye. BBC has quite a long report asking the musical question, should Obama's internet kill switch power be curbed? Folks like Joe Lieberman calling for a kill switch, just like the Chinese have, of course, they're the model nation, most favored nation. All waiting for an I-9-11. Cyber shopping poses fraud risks. There's a little Black Friday news for you. That's from CBS59.com. And our last note on this, sick switch risks, DEF CON, WikiLeaks diplomatic cable dump, reportedly imminent. So yes, we wait with bated breath yet again for another massive WikiLeaks document dump. This one, I believe, is going to show a lot of geopolitical communication, so hopefully it can embarrass folks all around the world and not just our own evil military aforementioned industrial complex. One of the other ones I was able to post to cyberspacewar.com comes from the old gray lady. Growing up digital, wired for distraction. On the eve of a pivotal academic year in Vishal Singh's life, he faces a stark choice on his bedroom desk, book or computer. By all rights, Vishal, a bright 17-year-old, should have already finished Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle, his summer reading assignment, but he's only managed 43 pages in 2 months. He typically favors Facebook, YouTube, and making digital videos. That's the case this August afternoon. Bypassing Vonnegut, he clicks over to YouTube, meaning that tomorrow he will enter his senior year of high school hoping to see an improvement in his grades, but without having completed his only summer homework. On YouTube, you can get a whole story in 6 minutes, he explains. A book takes so long. I prefer the immediate gratification. Students have always faced distractions and time wasters, but computers as cell phones and the constant stream of stimuli they offer pose a profound new challenge to focusing and learning. Massive, massive changes going on that we can only barely wrap our brains around right now. What is the generation we're grooming going to turn into? Oh. Guess we'll have to wait and see. As we continue on cyberspacewar.com with all the unbelievable updates going on, inner space and outer space. End of the internet as we know it? Question mark. U.S. Senate committee in a lame duck congressional session passed recently the Combating Online Infringements and Counterfeits Act, COICA, C-O-I-C-A. The EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, a digital rights group, calls it an internet censorship bill, saying, quote, clearly this was funded by media cartels, but this has a lot more to do with internet censorship as it does about copyright infringement, and you can get more on that from activistpost.com. There's more from Stop the Internet Blacklist, Rhode Island State Rep David Siegel, getting into COICA. However, we do have a positive update to this story. From Raw Story, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden effectively kills internet censorship bill. It's too early to say for sure, but Oregon Senator Ron Wyden could very well go down in history as the man who saved the internet. Hyperbole noted. A bill that critics say would have given the government power to censor the internet will not pass this year thanks to the Oregon Democrat, who announced his opposition during a recent committee hearing. Individual senators can place holds on pending legislation, in this case meaning proponents of the bill will be forced to reintroduce the measure and will not be able to proceed until the next Congress convenes. Even then, the passage is not certain. The aforementioned Combating Online Infringement and Counterfeits Act would have permitted a blanket takedown of any domain alleged to be assisting activities that violate copyright law based upon the judgment of state attorneys general. Deploying this statute to combat online copyright infringement seems almost like using a bunker buster cluster bomb when what you need is a precision-guided missile, Ron Wyden said. And again, the unfortunate military-industrial complex analogies noted. But let's keep moving quickly through all our cyber updates. And again, I implore you to go check these stories out for yourself. Again, myself and Alan, who's helping post to cyberspacewar.com. From the middle of America in Omaha. Our own oracle, if you will. We don't have time to go into massive detail. We just have to kind of blast through these, unfortunately. Stuxnet role in stoppage at Natanz. The IAEA, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, report says uranium enrichment halted at Natanz facility in Iran on at least one day this month. SpaceDaily.com notes Stuxnet could add to Iran's enrichment problem, suggests its experts believe that the Stuxnet computer worm, which infected the facility's computer system months ago, which of course we reported in great detail here on MediaMonarchy.com, may be contributing to that stoppage. The other note is that they're not doing it at all. U.S. fingers China for cyberjacking internet traffic. Should the incident be called 18 minutes in April? The Guardian reported China Telecom, state-owned company, had access to emails from NASA and the United States Army for a brief time earlier this year. The access could be used for malicious activities by China. China Telecom denies any hijacking. However, according to an annual security report, quote, the U.S. report said that some 15% of global internet traffic was routed through Chinese servers earlier this year, prompting worries. And we did note that headline for you last week. Furthermore, from the Telegraph, we get into a timeline of Chinese censorship and related and unrelated cyber attacks. As we said, Lieberman praising China for their internet censorship. We even have more updates on the mystery missile. And we've been covering both angles of this story. The far more controversial Chinese missile angle being noted from places like Wayne Mattson and WorldNet Daily. Mystery contrail was from Chinese missile. However, even the anonymous comment on this posting says, if you went to the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency military website, you will find there was a warning. I believe they yanked it, but of course we all saved it out here in cyberspace war land. We also have a couple of posts about the mysterious X-37B. Do you remember that? Back in April? Writing for thediplomat.com, David Axe notes U.S. starting Asia space race, noting the April 22nd launch of the X-37B robotic spacecraft into orbit by U.S. Air Force counters China's anti-satellite capability and goes a step further. The X-37B, built by Boeing, could also be used to spy on and even disable other nations' satellites, all without them necessarily knowing that it's even happening. However, Washington-based analysts and think tank folks say the smoke probably exceeds the fire. The update on the X-37B, where we wonder, and the Christian Science Monitor wonders, if its initial mission is near an end. We've also noted in the past the X-37B changing course, darting around all around outer space as we try and track it online. Meanwhile, we've got never-ending blimps here closer to terra firma, spying on our every move. An interesting history mystery note on the ancient knowledge of Sirius B, an African tribe, the Dogon, D-O-G-O-N, may have possessed ancient knowledge of the white dwarf companion star Sirius B, not discovered in contemporary times until 1978. DailyGalaxy.com getting into this fascinating story back in ancient history. And our final note on cyberspacewar.com, Nazi UFO technology. Is it a myth? Polish artist Hubert Czekropak, fascinated over the years by Nazi myths of Nazi UFOs, the Antarctic base called New Swabia, and the U.S. Navy's unsuccessful 1946 Operation High Jump, explored artistic concepts in an art exhibit in Peenemünde, Germany, where that V-2 rocket was developed on the Baltic coast. Myths of Nazi UFO technology, more on that from OurStrangeWorld.net. Fascinatingly enough, and this segues into our last couple of notes on related alternative media, a couple of months ago I saw a live presentation from my good friend Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org on the Nazi connections to NASA, post-World War II, Operation Paperclip, Wernher von Braun, getting into the Vril and a lot of interesting things I'd never heard of that traces back a lot of this technology to sinister forces, unknown origins. Was there an earlier crash predating Roswell by decades going on in Germany? This is the kind of area and things that I sometimes shy away from here on the show, as it's somewhat speculative in nature, and I'm in no way equipped to wax on about these events. But like I said, you can get more on that from groundzeromedia.org, which brings us to the latest episode from my man Clyde Lewis, Piggies, where he notes with the accompanying article to this episode that this one comes with a bit of trepidation. I unfortunately only caught about the last 40 minutes of this episode, which is broadcast live from out of KUFO 101.1 FM here in the People's Republic of Portland, Oregon. And it was all about the media and the memes and the murder and the mayhem and the star whackers and the sinister forces. Things I've discussed with Peter Lavenda in our amazing interview from just over a year ago, as well as our interview with Alex Constantine, the author of The Covert War Against Rock. And that's something we are going to get into on the upcoming episode 196, where we will have, again, an in-studio guest here. We're going to have security expert and author H. Michael Sweeney, author of The Professional Paranoid and many other books and lectures. And we're going to get into a bit of this targeted individuals, folks like the Quaids and others. So a huge hat tip to Clyde. It was rather bittersweet at the end. Our friend Clyde Lewis is and has been battling cancer, and we send him all our best, all our vibes, all our prayers. And you can donate to Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org. The other thing we do want to note, and I'll only mention it briefly, I got a call late Tuesday night from Clyde where he told me that he is no longer affiliated with ZeroPointRadio.com. And I don't really know, and if I did, I probably wouldn't still be at liberty to say anything about it. That's their story. And it really doesn't involve MediaMonarchy.com, but we do want to tell you that. So, Clyde Lewis has separated from ZeroPointRadio.com. We'll have to ask him about the updates and get it from the horse's mouth. So, having said all that, we'll close out with the latest from my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, who's been on a little bit of a hiatus from his regular episodes, so that includes the weekly shows, as well as the Documentaries That Matter series, as well as the Sunday Update, and as well our NewWorldNextWeek.com weekly video series, which will return next week, December 2nd, with a brand new episode after being away for a couple of weeks. However, James hopped over to one of his sister sites, climategate.tv. Don't forget that site. Bookmark it. In a new video and article with the transcript, again, fantastic, fantastic work coming from CorbettReport.com. Climategate is still the issue. This week marked the one-year anniversary of the release of emails and documents from the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia that we now know as Climategate. There is also a related interview with Richard Lindzen on the state of climate science. So again, my friends, climategate.tv, the eugenics agenda to blame earth changes, which are essentially happening from the sun and other sources, on dirty, dirty humans. Carbon, of course, is a life-giving gas. It's what plants literally crave. But that's going to do it for this B-Side episode 195 for MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Like I said, stay tuned. In-studio guest the second hour on our upcoming episode 196. And we're going to go out with some Pixies, with a little holiday song as we're here post-Thanksgiving, Black Friday for you. And as always, my friends, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care. But it always turns out this way.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.